This is CLWA3 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The following program is brought to you in living color on BTR. The NAWC, for over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
And Christian has finally done it! He is now the world champion!
Kick by Christian. Christian springboard. Oh no, RKO by Orton! RKO by Orton! No! 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 Oh God! Oh no! Oh no! The reign of Orton has made it to SmackDown! Super Orton strikes again!
In the words of a saner Michael Cole, not this way, damn it! But I'm not talking about our merger. I'm not talking about our new sponsor. WrestleChat.net is more than happy to have us aboard. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. And apparently there's an echo in here somewhere.
Well, let me have a headset.
Okay. And our first speaker at the round table is VRM.
How many balls do you think Mark Hominick has the way he fought that fifth round on Saturday night with that giant fucking bulge on his forehead?
That's nightmare fuel. Speaking of nightmares, I have a man who has woken from several of them this week, Mr. Jim Williams.
How dare you? No, but seriously, no, just in the last 24 hours, the nightmares have happened. Is it wrong of me to say the most exciting fight this weekend or wrestling moment this week, one that we can all enjoy, might be the Manny Pacquiao-Shane Mosley fight? I mean, just wrestling, it's gone from a high of highs to an unthinkable low in 48 hours.
Supporting this roller coaster, one of our newer members, Mr. Brian Henniger.
What it is. How y'all doing out there?
So, let's see.
And as soon as I say that, an ad plays on my computer. What the heck? There we go. I'm trying to mute it.
Okay, kick your computer, and let's see where we need to begin. Since we've already kind of touched on the topic, we're actually going to start with SmackDown this week.
Yes.
Because I have had this feeling that as soon as the spoilers came up, I opened up WrestleCraft and did this.
Easy, Sparky.
I mean, even he was upset. One of the Supreme Rules
Nikki, you are breaking up something fierce.
Yeah, Nikki, you're breaking up real bad.
Oh, okay. Ta-da! How's that sound?
Much better.
Take two.
Okay, somebody is outside, so... Please find shelter.
Okay.
Hey,
can everyone hear me okay?
Yep.
I'm not sure who's... I'm not sure who's... Okay, I think that's been fixed.
Okay.
Okay. But as I was saying, one of the most heartfelt and exciting new champions with a great story behind it, where real life wrote part of the plot, and somebody has to flush it down the toilet just to restore, I guess, to restore status quo. Jim, help me out here.
Yeah, apparently we now have dueling Supermen on dueling brands. We have Super Cena with Raw. We now once again have Super Orton on SmackDown. I don't care if it was a great match to those who saw it. I really don't. I had a feeling, and I was in the WrestleChat chat room on their website during the pay-per-view as we all watched together on Sunday. And by and large, everybody said, you know what, to think Christian will have the belt for more than a month or two would be to think naively. We had a feeling he'd be a transition champion, the few people we had in the chat room, the many people, I should say. But to have it 48 freaking hours, are you kidding me? I mean, I know they don't think anything of the belt. They proved that at WrestleMania by putting it as the first match on the freaking card. And now they do this? It obviously, it goes back. They were doing this as a favor to Edge because they figured, you know what, Christian hasn't had the belt. Edge wants to have, like, a grand goodbye, and nothing would be better than to have his best friend hold the belt. But then, the next day arose, everything happened, and now it's Randall Orton as champion. Some call him Blandy Borton in the internet wrestling community, and for once I actually agree with those folks. It's, you know, and the E, for what it's worth, they didn't expect this kind of an outrage from those who are fans of the product. So, maybe something comes to this, but I'm not holding my breath.
What I'm hoping for is that if they're going to go ahead and do this, I want Orton to turn heel, because if he was a true good guy face, he would have probably asked Teddy to go ahead and push it back to Over the Limit and just have the guaranteed title shot. I think a lot of people would have been happier that way. It really was, and I don't think it was fair to Christian. In fact, that did come up a lot in the commentary. Is it fair? Ryan, do you think that's going to go anywhere from here?
Well, I'm more of the mentality of wait and see. I mean, I honestly think that when I was watching the match earlier tonight, I saw some sort of heelish behavior from Orton. He did kind of act in a heelish way. The way he walked out with the belt, he looked kind of cold and unfeeling and everything. So I honestly think that they're going to turn him heel. I think maybe they're going to put him into a program with Christian. I mean, I can't say anything on this storyline if there is going to be one after just one night. You kind of have to wait and see. But, man, does it look like they're burying Christian. It looks like they're just burying him in the bottom of the ocean, because he went from one of the greatest highs, and it just, in 48 hours, it's like an afterthought.
Let me take it one step further. The burying of Christian really began with the end of the match Sunday night, because it was not exactly the cleanest of finishes. You had Brodus interfere for Del Rio. You had Edge interfere on behalf of Christian. It made him look like a weak champion from Jump Street, and that's a shame.
Yeah, because Christian is actually a really good wrestler.
Oh, absolutely. But see, that's the thing. That's the thing. He's a good wrestler.
He's a wrestler.
Siren.
No. Just a quick opinion about it.
I don't know. How about it sucks?
And here I know. I was ever going to need that. That was
right.
Mr. Seidelman on a tirade for something else, but I thought it was very appropriate here.
Yes, it was. Wow.
So, and you guys know how much I love Randy Orton.
Yeah. Well, since he's the champion now, I guess you have to get an extra stock, extra gross stock order of...
baby oil!
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Some for him and some for his belt.
By the way, and this may be reading far too much into it, am I the only one who thought that the nameplate that Christian was given just looked way too generic? Because, see, most everyone, their nameplate, it's been engraved with their name, and it's in some fancy font. Edge, it was, like, screen-printed in Arial bold. It was as if to say, it's like, he's not going to have this too long. Just throw something on there.
I saw that, but I didn't really think much of it because, you know, this was his first title reign. I don't know, the first couple of times I don't think they get too fancy. I know they don't, they don't use a really weird font for, they didn't use one for Triple H when he was world champion. They didn't do, I know Edge had a custom one, Mysterio had a custom one.
Yeah, like I said, I probably read way too much into this, and that's my own fault.
No, you make an interesting point, though.
So since we were discussing the pay-per-view, anybody want to hear the pick-ems?
Sure, I'd like to be thrown under the bus. Go ahead.
dude, don't worry. You tied for third.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry.
Awesome.
Actually, you tied for second, and you'll see how this shakes out.
Okay.
Just going real quick through all of this, let me get some of the results here. Mysterio got his farewell win over Cody Rhodes, so that was a point to Josh, to fourth to Jim, and to Carl. Layla over McCool. Jim, you should know better.
Yes, I should.
Orton over Punk, which gave everybody but fourth a point, and everybody got the tag match wrong, but we wanted to be right. We so wanted to be right.
Come on. JR should have won just for the dance. Come on.
Oh, absolutely.
He should have won just for the injury he took.
You people are fools!
You stay out of this. So,
yeah, Michael Cole, three words. Go heat, bitch.
For the record, I had SmackDown muted for about 45 minutes tonight. I think I should start keeping track. Let's see. Everybody got a point for Christian. Nobody got a point for Cena. So, Jim, you, myself, Andy, and Forrest all have three. But that puts us all in second place because the co-winners of this round of pick-ems is Josh Henniger and Mr. Carl Chenier. So,
and the crowd
makes you feel better, yes, and if it makes you feel better, Jim, we're down here in last place with you.
Now, they had 4 points or five?
Well, both of them had four.
Okay, so, no, it doesn't make me feel better, because if I actually went with the grain, I would have been tied with them. Mind out, bitches! No, I'm sorry.
Man's game, bitch!
Pretty much. I have a feeling the sponsorship may not last long after they hear the opening 15 minutes. No, kidding.
SpecialStat.net loves us. We've said their names 10 times already.
And you'll hear the promo for it later, too, Smirk. Okay.
Thus. Okay, with that out of the way, do we need to bitch any more about Christian? Do we want to bitch more about Christian?
We could go on bitching about him, but there is other news. In fact, you might want to hit the sounder for this one.
Oh, yes. Let me see if the button is here. Oh, crap.
Oh, well,
somebody
then?
Somebody stole my button.
Never mind. That's okay. We'll just go. Oh, breaking news. Carrier pigeon just came in. No, this is serious, though. The hurricane. Stand back. A hurricane's a-coming. Well, not really. Got to talk about Shane Helms. Wrong name. Now, seriously, Shane Helms and his girlfriend were in a motorcycle accident near their North Carolina home last night. That would be Thursday night. And the person who is of knowledge of this, Matt Hardy, close friend of them, was on Twitter earlier Friday saying, quoting him here, "Last night Shane and his girlfriend Karen were in a very serious motorcycle accident. They were both seriously injured, but they're both warriors." That quote from a one Matt Hardy. The O Show's Big Daddy Donnie reporting that Helms and his girlfriend had to be airlifted to a hospital. In addition to Helms suffering a broken leg and broken ankle, he also broke his nose, and his jaw may have been dislocated. All told, Helms has received over 200 stitches. And as for girlfriend Karen, it is reported that she has a broken neck. That is the latest on that situation. Should more come in during the course of the program, we'll pass it along. But thoughts and prayers to both Shane Helms and to his girlfriend Karen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everyone, if you are of a religious nature, keep them all in your prayers tonight.
Absolutely.
Like I said, I'd only caught a touch of this. Somebody, I caught a tweet from Shawn Michaels who was reposting Say a Prayer for Shane Helms. And I'm like, wait a minute, what happened? And I hate to think that the former WWE superhero has gotten his horror cycle ruined by some idiot. But thoughts and prayers with you, Shane. I'm still a fan. Oh, do I have any? I can throw a little bit of this out. I want to say a couple more things about the pay-per-view.
Sure.
I got to see the pay-per-view. Did any of you guys get to watch it?
I did, and I thought it was actually a decent pay-per-view. I thought it was pretty good.
Jim, did you get to see it?
I got to see it, and I would agree. I'm like of the belief this pay-per-view was 1 month too late. I mean, it was that good of a pay-per-view.
I almost agree with you. I really enjoyed it. I've been wanting to go back and watch parts of it. I still would enjoy the Del Rio Christian match. And I need to pick you guys' brains on something. Brodus Clay got busted open on the floor before he got knocked out of the ring. I don't remember it. I didn't see it. But somebody posted a picture of him practically face down in his own blood, like somebody shot him in the back gangsta style.
Does that mean we have to stop the match?
No, he's just the valet.
Oh, okay.
Ew. He's an NXT guy. I don't think they stopped for that.
Good point.
I would like to say this. Am I the only one here who just was marking out during the Karma debut? They debuted her so perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And even up to this week on SmackDown, they had been doing a phenomenal job with Karma.
I practically jumped off the couch. I had three friends over, and I was the only one who knew what was happening. And I sat up and got to see the first instance of Karma kills bitches dead.
I believe Matt Stryker would probably have a few words to describe the moment that Karma came out to, shall we say.
Give me one moment. I need a longer thing to
express that moment, let's say.
Oh, yeah.
A mark out moment! A mark it out, bro!
Absolutely.
And then when she picked up McQueen.
Please do it! Please!
Yes.
That's why I miss having...
Yes, in the words of Santino, he achieved the level of orgasm. Yes.
Y'all know something? I miss having Matt Stryker on commentary. I can't be the only one.
Well,
considering
not,
Booker T, yeah.
Booker T is
not
this
bad.
Generation. No, he's not bad, but he's this generation's Dusty Rhodes. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth.
On the mothership.
He got a bicycle on the pay window. Bicycle.
A ticket to the pay window.
Just the fact that somehow Booker's gotten me to say, oh my goodness.
I still miss him as King Booker yelling, Batista is down.
But, yeah,
I can't be the only one there. I almost was
Booker,
the only one that when Kong came out, Karma came out, I'm sorry, that started in our chat room that started the Kong's gonna kill you chant holdover like that we had from like TNA.
Yes.
Indeed.
No, I miss Stryker because I know that he's a nerd just like us.
Even if he doesn't get the facts right 95% of the time, still.
I don't let the facts get in the way of good commentary. But the fact that he does speak several different dialects of nerd, and this is directly from him, being a wrestling nerd, a sports nerd, a comics nerd, a music nerd. I'm missing one. And a gaming nerd.
Indeed.
It's sad.
I miss him, and I hope they get him back on. Get him back on the show in some capacity, other than a backstage interviewer. He's not another Todd Grisham, damn it.
Well, Todd Grisham got promoted to commentary,
and he's doing backstage interviews again.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, he's only doing NXT at this point on the headset, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So
I have not been watching NXT. I'm horrible. I haven't watched NXT. I don't watch Tough Enough.
I just watch Superstars to hear Scott Stanford do everything but rap. So there you go.
I'm going to chase that down. Although, I understand WWE is still shopping Superstars around to see if anybody would be interested in picking it up. They'd love to get it off the internet and back on somebody's television. Anybody got any more info for me?
No, but I've got some TNA gossip that I think everyone has heard.
Oh, do tell.
Which one?
Since we...
the identity of the mistress that Kurt Angle is going to be bringing out next week. Has anyone else heard this?
Yeah, it's not Isis the Amazon, which was coming from early reports.
No, it is going to be China.
Oh, hell no!
And the landscape has changed again.
I can't wait. I can't.
And I quit TNA.
This is going to be so much fun.
And if you'd be fun by trade wreck, I might agree.
That's what I meant by train wreck.
Okay.
Oh, God. I hate to say this.
It's a mixed feeling. It's a mixed feeling. Part of me is glad to know that she found a gig again and she's, you know, off the streets and not putting out tapes with Sean Waltman, which is good.
Oh, yes.
The other part of me is saying, well, you know what? This is going to become a three-ring circus now. You can see RVD and China hanging out in the back doing various drugs, perhaps. Who knows? No, I mean, this is an interesting time period for the company currently known as TNA, soon to be known as Impact Wrestling.
And
they have an opportunity. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Speed is ego.
Oh, well, thank you.
What? What was that? I didn't hear that.
Just the fact that, you know, that he was just talking more and more about TNA and the fact that they might get a big head that I'm actually talking about them on that show.
Feed his ego.
Well, sorry, Adam. I apologize, sir. and calling you that would be stupid, so I'm sorry, Edge. No, but this is yet another opportunity, and you can't say they haven't had the chances to make a dent in the ratings. People are ticked off with what's going on with WWE, with the way you've got Super Cena and Super Orton booked at the top of the card. You've got enough talent, you've got the stable there, and they're going through yet another reinvention. TNA is to wrestling as Madonna is to music, only Madonna was more successful.
Yeah. Although I want to say this, and I'd like to say it right now, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm all in favor of them changing the name to Impact Wrestling.
Oh,
I am
sure.
100% in favor of that, because, see, TNA just sounds seedy.
Yeah. I mean it goes with a reputation. It goes with, it holds a certain opinion that is in place with many at this point. And,
right.
You know, this is crap. They can reinvent themselves.
Yeah, but yeah. Changing the name is like putting a pink ribbon on a dirty cake.
That's a new one. I've never heard that. I'm going to use that.
No, neither have I. That was pretty good.
It's pretty and it's new, but it's still a dirty pig.
Well, then there's other information I'm hearing as well. One of the rumors I heard, Artie Reynolds said this on WrestleCrap, is there is a lot of talk about toning down a lot of the storylines and focusing more on the in-ring product. So we'll see how that goes.
I will believe that when I hear about it, because they're still not going to be able to get me in there.
I'm talking over everybody. I apologize for that, but I gotta admit, I'm sort of watching TNA at this point just to see how crazy it can get.
Oh!
May I have your attention, please? We have just received an email from the anonymous general manager. On my iPhone.
Which version?
It's a 3G, thank you.
Okay, well, there you go.
All right. No, the anonymous Raw General Manager is just telling me we haven't talked about WrestleChat enough, so he's emailing me a soundbite. Let me get it downloaded, and let me get it rolling.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
You ask me that one more time, I'll take you home and make a woman out of you. Woo!
And then yelling at the judge, "My shoes are worth more than your house!" Which the judge would reply, "Mr. Flair, I believe I paid more than $39.95 for my house."
You win the internet, sir! You win the internet!
Don't miss a second of the North America Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChat.net. Live every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern only on the CLWA3 network.
My asshole of the week plays football. He is a quarterback.
Obviously.
The quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Rob, hit it.
He's Jay Cutler.
Thank you.
He's Jay Cutler. Just like all the other quarterbacks who play like crap.
Wow, that was just...
Thanks for Chris Palmer for giving the Sidey the idea to sing. Way to go there.
Yeah, thanks.
I'll say this, Chris Clark. It's the only time I think that song will ever be appropriate, ever.
I don't know, Chris. Wait 2 weeks. It might happen.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see when the post, the lowest main seed, whoever the hell that is. But Jesus Christ, Jay Cutler.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Oh, yes, sorry. Who or what is Estadio Jair Bittencourt, and where can you find it?
Estadio Jair Bittencourt is a disease, and it is spread by Sean Hannity, because when he opens his fucking mouth, everybody wants to take his Estadio asses hole into Jair Bittencourt.
Oh, that's a hero for me.
Oh!
He had something in the great wide open, and he whiffed on it.
Oh,
Carl has zero. What does Palmer have?
I'm not gonna be that cool. I'm gonna give him 269 points.
The BS Big Show Season 3 debut live this Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern on the CLWA3 Network.
Hi, this is Tyler Round, and you're listening to the CLW83 Network.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
Blah!
Are we back?
My, weren't those commercials entertaining? Please buy the product advertised.
Longest commercial ever.
Don't blame me. Blame the anonymous general manager for dropping that on me.
Indeed.
But now that we're back, DRM, half the reason we had you on the show tonight is we needed you to tell us a little bit about UFC 129. Including the Cro-Magnon fighter whose picture has given me nightmares all week long.
You mean George St. Pierre?
No.
Whoever it was
with
the Cro-Magnon. No, no, no. The guy that got kicked in the head.
Okay.
Could be anybody.
Let's say this. So for the first time ever, I actually went to a bar to watch UFC 129 because I wanted to see it in HD for once.
Hey.
So,
am I to assume that you were to be consuming sinful beverages at this establishment?
You are incorrect, because I drove there.
Good for you.
All right, so first things first, last week I reported UFC 129 had pulled in a gate of $11 million. That is incorrect. The actual number is $12,075,000. At the gate, with an attendance of 55,724.
Holy mother.
Now, for a comparison, the previous North American mixed martial art records for attendance and gate were 23,152 for UFC 124 and $5,397,300 for UFC 66. Now remember, UFC 66 was Ortiz versus Liddell for the light heavyweight title.
Okay.
Now the buy rate record is $1.6 million. That was UFC 100. Early reports from Dave Meltzer show that they're close to $1 million, but they're not going to get the 1.6. So here are some results from the main card. I'm only going to go over the main card as soon as I make sure I have the main card up. UFC 129. Okay, so first fight on the main card, Mark Bocek versus Ben Henderson, and Henderson went to town on Bocek. It was a curb stomp. But a curb stomp that went to the judges. Henderson with a 30-27 all around, taking the first match of the first side of the evening. The second fight featured Belarusian Vladimir Matyushenko versus Jason Brills, and Matyushenko went to town. A 1-2 combination featuring a left hook left Brills flat on his back. He was still fighting until three punches in, his legs went limp, and Big John stepped in. Matyushenko defeats Brills, KO, 20 seconds of round one. Now we get to the knockout of the night. Randy Couture versus Lyoto Machida. Second round. Who invited Daniel San to the UFC? Because Lyoto Machida with a flying front kick that which actually knocked out two of Couture's teeth, and you could see his teeth go flying from his mouth, and Couture's career drops like that. Minute and 5 seconds into the second round, Machida with the knockout of the night bonus for the win over Randy Couture, and Randy Couture retires.
So his teeth went out like a pair of chiclets.
Uh-huh.
Dad, go.
So, that's the knockout of the night. Now to the fight of the night. Mark Hominick versus Jose Aldo for the featherweight championship. Now, Aldo had the first three rounds dominated already. By round four, we decided, okay, if Hominick wants to win, he's going to have to knock Jose Aldo out. Fourth round comes. And so they're both standing up, and then Aldo delivers a vicious elbow, which at first you figure, okay, it's an elbow. It's not going to do much. But then that's when it starts. You start seeing a bulge form on Hominick's forehead, the right side of his forehead.
Ooh, I saw the picture.
Keep going, VRM.
No. This, it gets worse, because I actually saw it live, and I saw it grow live. The entire bar was, there was a groan of absolute anguish in the bar when the bulge formed. Referees came in, referees temporarily stopped the fight. Doctors came in. Now, unlike the ringside doctors at boxing matches, we have legitimate medical professionals. Same with the cut men. They are legitimate medical professionals. They came in, they checked Hominick's peripheral vision, they checked his, how confident he was to continue the fight, and he let him continue.
Yeah.
And so then fourth round and fifth round, this is where it becomes the fight of the night, because Hominick takes down Aldo and starts wailing on him. And suddenly you see the guy with the massive egg on his forehead. He's doing his darndest to win the fight. He's actually fighting back. And if the round was a little longer, if the fight was a little longer, he might have done it. But sadly, there are only five-minute rounds. Time expired. Winner by unanimous decision, and still featherweight champion Jose Aldo.
But ew. Ew.
If we stay down south, he raised the pump, not on his head.
The scoring from the fight, 48-45, 48-46, 49-46. So it was it got close at the end after that major beating that Hominick was delivering in the last round. But by then, if you didn't knock him out, it was already too late. Now, now, welterweight championship. George St. Pierre, Jake Shields, you think, my God, we just got this war. How are these two going to top that? That's the problem. They didn't. It was another classic case of stand, run around, and deliver the occasional punches and takedowns. Boring! And this was, like, we know, so 54-45, 48-47, 48-47, George St. Pierre retains the welterweight championship, Jake Shields throws his shot at the title, and we're all left holding the bag. So we have this awesome featherweight championship bout, and then the welterweight championship just kills the crowd.
Hard to hear.
So fight bonuses, like we said already, Jose Aldo and Mark Hominick for the fight of the night, Leona Machida for the knockout of the night. Submission of the night goes down to the first fight of the evening between Pablo Garza and Yves Jobin, where Garza latches on a flying triangle choke at the end of round one to get the submission. That is your submission of the night. All the bonuses, $129,000. Now, on to the medical suspensions. George St. Pierre, like everyone, hit with a 14-day precautionary suspension. George St. Pierre, 60 days due to an eye injury, must have ophthalmologist clearance. Jose Aldo, 30 days for lacerations. Hominick, 60 days for precautionary reasons after the hematoma, and he must have a CT scan completed for a possible concussion. Grills, 60 day due to KO, must have a CT scan. Randy Couture, also 60 days for KO, must have a CT scan, but he's done, so there's no need to worry about that. Overall, I give the UFC 129 a B+. It was a very solid event. The only thing that keeps this from being an A is that main event, because the main event just dragged that show down.
All right. Actually, I had some news come in. Let me see if this is the right button. As I have my correspondent down in Tennessee, Brian, you pass along something to me, and I am.
Yes, from what I'm reading here, I have an article from the Memphis Commercial Appeal. They are said to be very close to demolishing one of the most famous wrestling venues, not just in Tennessee, but all over the country, the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, which has been shut down for some time due to its inability to comply to the Americans with Disabilities Act, is said to be close to the chopping block. There was a session held in Memphis about 2.5 weeks ago over the, quote, feasibility for the Coliseum. And Jerry Lawler is currently leading the charge to keep the Coliseum alive as a mid-sized venue for smaller concerts and other events. But from what I'm hearing, it's pretty much all for naught now. The Coliseum is pretty much close to being torn down. And that's a sad day if you're a fan of old school wrestling, as I am, because the Coliseum was one of the most iconic venues in the Southeast.
And I was kind of introduced to it on Sunday. One of my guests had brought over Andy Kaufman, I Am From Hollywood.
Yes, which is pretty much the video that documents his wrestling career.
Which a lot of it happened at that Coliseum. So you got to get to see a young Jerry Lawler,
yep,
who can wrestle then and can still wrestle now, and Andy Kaufman doing what Michael Cole can't do, heal it up and still entertain.
Exactly. What, you know, the Coliseum, but it wasn't just wrestling. Elvis recorded an album there. The Beatles did concerts there. There's a very, if you're a fan of the rock group Judas Priest, they did a concert film there called British Steel Live from the Mid-South Coliseum. David Copperfield did one of his magic specials from there. I mean, there is so much history in the Coliseum. In fact, they just recently shot some film in there for a documentary about Memphis wrestling called Memphis Heat, which from what I'm reading is getting rave reviews from everybody. And the real reason, the real story that's happening is they just built a new venue in Memphis called the FedEx Forum, which is said to be absolutely gorgeous. When they built the FedEx Forum, they had to put in a non-compete clause with all the other, with the other big venue in Memphis, which was at the time was the Pyramid, which that was the venue where they had the Tyson Lewis fight back in 2002. And the Coliseum has just, it has sat empty since 2006. And they're saying it is probably going to get the bulldozer treatment, which is sad because the Coliseum, everyone says, was just a phenomenal building. Memphis Wrestling used to regularly sell that place out. They used to run shows and it seated 11,500 people, and they could sell it out each and every week. And they did that for almost 25 years.
It's just, unfortunately, you can't, if you're lucky to get 10K for, you know, for even the Fed anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I never had the pleasure to go to the Mid-South. But I've been to a lot of mid-sized arenas here in Ohio, the E.J. Nutter Center in Dayton, the old Toledo Sports Arena.
Been to Freedom Hall?
I have. I've been out to Freedom Hall a couple of times. I've been to Rupp Arena. I've been to West Banco Arena in Wheeling. Actually, that is a little bitty building.
Yeah, we have a venue kind of like that here in Knoxville, the Knoxville Civic Coliseum, which was the home base for Smoky Mountain Wrestling back during its heyday. And it is one of the nicest small venues in the country. It seats about 5,000 people, but it is so intimate. And it is a wonderful place. And there was talk about maybe closing it down recently, but thankfully Knoxville has become surprisingly a hotbed for hockey. And we have a champion hockey team, the Knoxville Ice Bears, and it's helped revitalize that venue, which is good. But sad to hear about the Mid-South because it was such a historic venue.
So much so, it was added to the National Registry of Historic Places back in December of 2000. Number 1429.
Now, wait. If it's been added to the National Register of Historic Places, does that not technically make it a landmark?
That doesn't really mean anything. I checked into that myself. There was a famous church in Memphis that was also on that registry, and they tore it down a few years ago. There was some red tape they had to go through, but they were able to tear it down. There is a group in Memphis that is trying to fight it called Memphis Heritage. They tried to keep alive a famous amusement park called Liberty Land, but they were unable to do that too. And so, I mean, Jerry Lawler's doing what he can to rally the troops, but it just doesn't seem to be working.
You hate to see it go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a song called Time Marches On. It's a country song, and it has a lyric that says, "The only thing that stays the same is everything changes."
So true.
And
very true. I mean, Boston went through this with the Garden.
Oh, yes.
Detroit's gone through this with Silverdome and Ford Field.
Although they still have Joe Louis Arena, which is a very historic place.
And No, that place, but that place still puts on a heck of a rockin' show. I've been to several WWE events there, and I was at Draft Night 2004, the night Edge came back, the night that my dear Uncle Paul was fired. I'm sorry, he quit. I don't blame you, Uncle Paul. I wouldn't work for Eric Bischoff either, especially now.
did you hear what he's getting into now, Eric Bischoff?
Wife swapping? Oh, wait, no, he did that a long time ago.
Okay, before we go any further, why the heck does everyone call Eric Bischoff the wife swapper? I've never understood this story. I've never heard the story. What is it?
It's my understanding that, this, you know, obviously this was, you know, before all this mess with Jared from the Angles, but I had heard that he had actually done a wife swap with some other couple, but I couldn't even tell you who it was. This was in the ether between the end of WCW and when he showed up in the Fed in 2002, I think. Anybody want to help me on this one?
No, this is news. I couldn't tell you myself.
Okay.
I assume the nickname came just because he left WCW to WWE. That's where I thought the name came from, but I guess I was wrong.
Well, I thought it came up sooner than that because I remember when CRZ was still doing recaps, and he only did recaps up until about fall of 2002. And he did WCW and WWE. I think he was calling him Wife Swapper even before he jumped to the Fed. So I'm unfortunately uneducated on that.
Okay. What Eric Bischoff's into now, apparently he is now starting up his own beer, his own brewing company.
It's an apology to Stone Cold Steve Austin, isn't it?
Probably.
Thank you for getting that, Jim.
But it's good to know that but it's good to know that he's keeping busy.
Let us see. Oh, you know what we haven't talked about in with 53 minutes and 50 change we've been doing this show.
What haven't we spoken about?
And true. And a certain birthday that cost most of the show to have like no wrestling.
Granted, there was a distinct lack of wrestling on the show. I found it even stranger that the internet kind of turned on it when I started reading about opinions, some opinions I kept hearing.
I don't know. How about it sucks?
Sorry.
People were calling it raw is blowjob. I'm like, okay, let me think about this for a second. The Rock currently has the number one movie in the country right now with Fast Five.
Uh-huh.
The Rock is the second, probably the second or third biggest moneymaker for the Fed outside of Austin and Hogan. And Cena's catching up.
Yes.
Because all Cena does is sell merch. Yes.
Granted. The fact that The Rock is one of a very few handful of names that will get casual fans to kind of go, oh, is he on, and we'll change the channel. Why shouldn't Vince give him a two-hour blowjob?
And I will say this about The Rock. The man can cut a promo.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Promo.
Yes. Although I will say this much. I was watching the pay-per-view. Did anybody else think it was kind of... And this may sound weird, kind of cool to hear John Cena come out and he actually announced the news that a certain Osama bin Laden had been given a dirt nap.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad they played that on Raw. I was really glad to see that.
Yes. Although,
actually,
I love the... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No,
okay.
Please.
Okay, I will say this. I just love the terminology he used. He said that the American forces had compromised to a permanent
end. Fought and compromised to a permanent end.
I love that.
That did make me smile. I'm gonna pass along my story about this. I had heard about the announcement at the pay-per-view the following day, but the news broke pretty much just as Chamber was ending. So as the pay-per-view is wrapping up, my phone rings.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of our dear co-hosts, Jason Block, who by the way, lives in New York City.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I pick up the phone, and he says, I don't care what news station you go to, but put the news on.
That's Jason.
Which means either something really, really good or really, really bad has happened.
Exactly. So I'm like, uh-oh. So I flip over to CNN, and who do I get? I get Wolf Blitzer, and a tagline at the bottom, Osama bin Laden is dead.
Now, yeah, I want to go on this. I was in the wrestling chat room where I normally go when I'm watching pay-per-views. Someone made the announcement in chat. Now, at first, since it's a wrestling chat room, and it's the end of a pay-per-view where Cena won the title, I figure, okay, he's trolling, don't listen to him. But then I go over to ESPN to watch the baseball game, and I'm hearing this chant of USA, USA, and I'm like, huh. So I flip over to CNN.
Fan.
Boom, there it is. And I'm like, holy shit. And then
it's certainly
I am Nikki. And I am Jason, I think. And I am Firearm. And I have like half the people on my chat. I texted my friends who are military. I'm like, holy shit.
It's a mark out moment. A mark it out, bro.
It's certainly one of those moments where you will always remember where you were when you heard the news, and we'll all have those stories. And it's weird how, you know, baseball, wrestling, kind of intersects with real life there for just a moment, and it's a beautiful thing. My only regret, and I'm going to say this facetiously for the sake of the full disclosure, I think we should have tortured Bin Laden by having him watch a bunch of Michael Cole matches. I think that would have been the first time. Yes.
Sorry.
Just, you know. Or he should have gotten replicas of Michael Cole's faded tattoos. That, too, would have done a world of good.
Now, here's something else. I play this RPG with some friends, the Warhammer 40K RPG, and I play the medic in our group. So I have this one asshole who's always, for any other reason, says, medic, fix it. So I go to talk to him the next day after the whole thing, and he's like, medic, Osama bin Laden's dead, fix it. I'm like,
why?
No.
Take gun, blam, 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 not enough bullet holes, blam, bam, bam, still not enough bullet holes.
And you turn into Jim Lampley yelling BAM every 5 seconds. Okay.
Oh, dear. I think with that, we want to sneak on out of here. So, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. I'm glad we kept the bitching to a minimum.
Thank you very much. I had a great time. Hope I can do it again pretty soon.
It's been fun.
I apologize to whoever's online too, but I'm not going to be able to get to you before we go into archives.
WrestleChat.net.
Nikki, you're really, really, really muffled. I can't make out what you're saying.
Yeah, you sound like you're talking from a fast food intercom.
Sorry about that. No,
I want an onion ring.
Can I interest you in a combo tonight?
Ian Rotten working with you on the drive-through?
I'm done.
Oh my god.
I'm done.
Ass. It gets better, though, if you have somebody of a different descent on the intercom. I think it becomes that much more fun.
Like me trying to deal with my Xbox, trying to call Microsoft and getting someone from Eastern Europe on the phone.
Yeah.
Is this Peggy? Oh, you've talked to Peggy then.
I did talk to Peggy.
There's always a Peggy in every phone bank, I think.
I got a Peggy when I was fighting with AT&T over my internet service a couple of months ago.
Internet service, this is Peggy. How may I help you?
What's funny, though, is I made the reference to Peggy. And then the person I was talking to, I told her that, you know, I didn't want to talk to anybody dealt with like I'm talking to Peggy, hoping that they would get it. But then she's like, well, give me a second. They put my supervisor on. Bing, this is Peggy. How may I help you?
They're like, oh, no, it lives.
Oh, my God.
Oh, snap.
Damn. Head to desk.
It could have been worse. Yeah. It could have been worse. I had to deal with the NHL, the National Hockey League, their online store. I bought my little nephew for his birthday a Alex Ovechkin shirt, and had ordered it in enough time to get it for his birthday. Turns out they were back ordered, didn't tell me. So I called up the NHL's office. It turns out the lady I'm talking to is from Quebec, and has a very thick.
Oh, so it's Maurice. Okay.
No, I wish it would have been Maurice. That would have been good. She had a very pronounced, I'll say that, French accent. So I was tempted to talk to her like Jerry Lewis, thinking she'd get it, but I restrained myself.
Either that or turn into Chris Berman and start singing Alouette, Gentle Alouette. Yes.
There's no Canada like French Canada. It's the best Canada in the land.
Hey. Oh God!
Well, this show went down in a hurry, didn't it?
And I take full responsibility.
That's okay, Jim. You were in quite good form tonight, and Carl has informed me that approximately 2% of this show is going to be recorded and used for sound bites later.
Good.
Oh, that was to the
five. Damn it! Oh well. Such is life. Oh boy, Sportsnet is now airing the aforementioned Pacquiao versus Shane Mosley preview show, also known as Gus Johnson's Last Gasp. But, hey, see, that's what I want to see. Gus Johnson leaving CBS potentially, maybe for somebody else. Here's what you do, WWE. You get Gujo on the line. You get him to call the big matches. He will go apeshit calling the moves. Oh wait, you don't want moves called. Never mind.
Look, you guys want to laugh. I worked at IWA, not Ian Rotten's, but one of the IWA affiliates down in Chillicothe last night.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh, come on, Mavericks. Beat the Lakers. Beat them.
Please.
Easy, VR.
Anyway.
Easy.
So we had, early on in the show, one of the other managers, this kid named Ruben, had gone out there to brag about his client. He's actually waving a handmade sign, how great his guy was. As he's heading for the back, he's still swinging his sign around, and it hooks onto the curtains that comprise the wall between the public area and the backstage area.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, he pulls half of the curtains down.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, everybody was dressed.
I was about to ask, how many people were in states of undress at that moment?
No, we were all dressed. There was just a problem that there were too many faces and heels too close to each other.
Ah.
To which I threw up my arms and yelled, "Kayfabe, run for your life!"
True Nicky in good fashion.
Yeah. That sounds like a win.
Oh, man, that's
Can
funny.
Can I play sounds for the... I don't know. Can I play a sound? Yes.
Yeah.
Let
Give
me play
shot.
This sound. Hooray.
Yeah.
Hooray, soundboard.
Yes. Can I share one last story before we go off the air, please?
Well, we've been off the air for 5 minutes, but no, that's okay.
Okay, talking about stuff like that, I got one for you. Me and my dad went to a Night of the Legends show that was held out in, it was in Knoxville. It was held at the Chilhowie Park, which is where every year they hold the Tennessee Valley Fair. And they have an arena at the back called the Homer Hamilton Amphitheater, and they were having one of the many Night of the Legends shows that they have in Tennessee for some reason. And they were hailing it, and you know, Dad, we're in the back watching it, and it was a great show. We were sitting about two rows down from this one fat redneck, and all he kept yelling for the whole show was, "Hit him with the folding chair!"
Oh, my redneck. God.
That was literally... I'm sorry, what?
Oh, that's awesome.
And so every match, every story, every angle, that's all he kept yelling. Hit him with the bowling chair.
But the $64,000 question, was there ever somebody who got hit with a folding chair?
Yes! In the Sydney main event. This guy, I'm guessing, presumably just to shut the heck up, a chair and did a chair shot. And the guy yells, "Hit him again!"
Oh, he takes it up. Oh, my God.
I was tempted to yell at the ring, "Don't feed the trolls! You're only making it harder on yourself!"
Oh, man.
I've been saving this story for a special occasion.
It's a good one. Oh, my God. Where was this?
Go ahead. Oh.
Wow.
So, now, as sort of an inside joke to ourselves, whenever me and Dad go to an event, if it gets really, really slow, I'll do it just to get a laugh out of people.
What do you do? Will yell it just for the sake of good old times. Oh, my God. That's funny.
I'm going to a house show next week. I might have to use that.
Okay, yeah, but you got to get the dialect down. You got to get the dialect down. That's the key.
Hit him with a folding chair.
That's how's good. That? Ain't bad.
That's not bad. Take the letter D out, then you got
some. Make it sound like Alice from Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, you have to hold the O and fold for just a bit longer.
Yes,
okay.
I'll hold it.
Yeah. That was completely wrong.
That's like Boston, dude.
See, unfortunately, I only know the New York version of it. Somebody give me a chair.
I got an aluminum in the car.
Yeah, that's right. And then New Jack will hijack you and completely steal everything and use it as a weapon. So there you go. If New Jack did that for me, I'd be like, okay, you're more than welcome. Here, I'll come back home and get a few other things. What do you want?
I got some old skillets I need to get rid of. You want those?
On the cast iron.
I give you my cast iron. That's my grandmama's.
Yes.
I need those.
Well, there you go. Well, I hope this stays in the final version of this podcast, because this is fun stuff, though, really. So,
oh, yeah, this should go in the archives. The whole episode, this whole bit needs to go in the archives.
Absolutely.
If I do say so myself.
And for those of you who are listening to this on through WrestleChat.net after the fact, you'll acquire the humor like we all do, so it's okay.
Yeah, see, our show is kind of like the flu. Not everyone's going to get it.
But you're gonna enjoy not getting it. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Said indeed.
Gentlemen, I think we're gonna call it a night.
Yes. Before somebody hits with a folding chair. Yeah.
My work Brian, here is done.
Brian, thank you for coming in. BRM, thank you for coming.
I had a great time. Hope I can do it again soon.
And Jim, I hope you're feeling better.
No.
Damn it. We'll try again next week.
I'm fine. Good night, folks.
Good Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. That'll do it.
CLW83.com is your source for everything CLW83. You can catch any of our shows on demand anytime at blogtalkradio.com/CLW83network. Also, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and our feed on iTunes.